There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Friday! That went fast. That week went fast, didn't it, Jeffrey? Oh, look at you. You got a house for sale. This is exciting news, Jeffrey.
Indeed, it is.
The whole world at this point has seen it, I think.
That's true, yes.
Yesterday, at what time did your house go on the market?
I believe it was fresh at noon.
Noon?
I think
the house
noon yesterday,
drops.
Yes.
It's on Mendenhall. You can go see it. Just look at my Twitter feed and Jeffrey's Twitter feed. And then yesterday, Jason and John, as part of the rundown, which is one of their things, as part of their rundown, they toured your house, Jeffrey.
Indeed, they did.
And one of the things that's, I have also toured your house now.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all.
So have a lot of people.
Gleaming,
virtually,
by the way.
Yes.
It's a gleaming.
No, the photos are fantastic.
I presume the reality. It's like someone redid that house. Someone poured money into that house. Like all the gleaming surfaces and bathtubs and walk-in beautiful showers in the kitchen. And
double shower heads. Oh, yeah.
Double shower heads.
Oh, it's the best.
So you're moving to get to a bigger house? Is that what you're doing?
We're getting a little more space.
You're getting a little more space.
Yeah.
Staying in the city of Memphis.
Indeed.
Staying within the
loop. We're actually moving west.
You're moving.
Yeah.
You're moving.
When everyone else says, you know, I truly live the American dream. Yeah. Everyone else wants to go east. No, I go west.
So, but you didn't do this stuff. You moved into a.
Correct.
Now, is your new house as beautifully redone?
Very similar setup where that house was redone too. And so we have a brand, and our brand is we want to just be able to walk in.
Well, what struck me about it was I've heard so much about the TVs. What's on TV one, what's on TV two, and what's on TV three. And you can see TV 1, 2, and 3.
Correct. You don't see TV 4 because TV 4 is mobile.
You've got these three massive. What kind of TVs are they?
They are Samsungs.
Are they all Samsungs?
Are they
identical TVs?
55. So the sides are 55 and the middle 70.
And were they all put up at the same time?
Correct.
Did you put them up or do you have someone do it?
I did with my father-in-law. Let me rephrase it. My father-in-law did with me.
I see.
Yeah.
And you're taking the TVs with you.
Everything's negotiable, Jeff.
So this is exciting. Jeffrey's house is for sale. If anyone wants to buy it, you can go ahead and buy it. Today on the radio show, let's see. Jason Smith's going to be here in the next segment. We'll talk to Jason. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. I just got a text asking me if he's if I'm in studio today, and I am in studio, so he's wondering whether he was going to come.
May suggest
he's going to be here.
From Nashville?
May suggest that Chris is going to join us in studio. So that'd be nice. We had him lost in Minnesota for a while, and now he came back, and now he had to go to Nashville. So we may have Chris in studio, and then we'll get your picks. It does in the second hour as well. It was, first of all, I have to say the ongoing saga over in North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee is just devastating.
Yeah. The images still like
the images are still heartbreaking, and it is now officially, I think they're up to 215 deaths. And it is the deadliest hurricane in the United States since Katrina now officially. And a lot of these folks who were hammered and the road's still out, it's going to be a long, long, long way back. A lot don't have flood insurance because that's not a thing.
Right.
You know, it's North Carolina, for heaven's sakes, you don't have flood insurance. But my heart continues to go out to them. There's been a lot of news across the universe, honestly. We also had the Tyree Nichols verdicts in the federal trial yesterday. All three police officers were found guilty of some things, but not all the things. In fact, the most serious charge was that they violated Tyree Nichols' civil rights by causing his death, and none were convicted of that. They were all convicted of other things. And
it seemed like a lot of obstruction of justice.
A lot of obstruction of justice. One was convicted of violating civil rights by inflicting bodily harm, which is the most serious thing that was. And all of these officers still face state charges, including second-degree murder charges. But that has obviously been wrenching, you know, since the first moment that we learned about the death of Tyree Nichols. And as that continues to unfold, and reveals some unfortunate things and, about the culture of some policing in this city. And so that has been unfolding. And again, we got those verdicts yesterday. We also had the strike, Jeffrey, the strike of the dock workers, right? That has caused people to be out there buying toilet paper. Did you go? Did you participate in the run on toilet paper purchases?
I did not participate, but I did go to Sam's because Thursday night is steak night at the house, so I went to go grab some steaks from Sam's, and apparently I was the only person at Sam's that was not buying toilet paper.
Well, what was interesting is that you saw on social media, you saw the about all the toilet paper buying. And then you saw the people mocking the toilet paper buying. They're like, you morons, toilet paper isn't made in China. Toilet paper is produced in the United States, which is one of the things, by the way, it turns out we still produce. Like, we do still produce our own toilet paper. But anyway, but here's the thing.
It's because everybody else has bidets. Come on.
Is I mean, I don't know. Like, we did a story in the Daily Memphian. Jody Callahan did a story in the Daily Memphian about this, and there was a run on it at the Superlow that I go to over Colonial, and they had immediately restocked. So I don't really know. In some ways, though, I don't really know how hoarding and the impact of hoarding works. But if people are irrationally hoarding, it can still mean you have a shortage of toilet paper. They may not be being rational, but can't it still produce? Had this gone on longer? It did not go on longer because they called off the strike after 3 days. Ron Olson thinks that it's because Ron hit me with this idea that we should, as a country, embrace No Wipe Wednesday.
Mm.
And so he wanted me to get on board and try to get people to join in with No Wipe Wednesday. And when I walked
the movement,
when he walked in today, he said that his campaign obviously worked. Like it brought the employers to their knees.
Yes.
Right. And, but no, what actually happened was, the strike is not over. It has not been settled. I think there's a huge fight still over automation. How much of this is going to be automized? What is the word?
Automated.
Yeah. Automated. Thank you. But the pay raise that brought them back was 62% over 6 years. Now, Jeffrey, let me ask you this. if the good people who run Odyssey, and we're emerging from bankruptcy, evidently.
Yes.
It's a new flush time in if the people
called a hot streak.
If the people came to you and said, Jeffrey, we value your role on the Jeff Calkins show, where you're you're a co-host of the Jeff Calkins show, not in name only, because I have too big an ego to allow that.
Yeah, of course, obviously.
But you do have, you then have Jeffrey and Company, Jeffrey and Friends, Jeffrey and the assorted superstars that you have on your show. So you are the hardest working man at the station. If they came to you and said, listen, we'd love to lock you up for 6 years, we will give you a 62% raise over those 6 years, would you sign on?
I mean, obviously, I'd have to speak to my business manager first. That, of course,
that's
being
a pretty healthy raise, though.
I want my instinct like, is like, yeah,
who wouldn't, right?
You want to do the move where you don't seem too excited,
right? I mean, yeah. Jaren Jackson Jr. wouldn't accept a 62% raise over 6 years because he's going to get a bigger one.
Right.
But most of us are living in the real world.
Yeah, you're trying to do the move where you don't want to make it seem like you are sprinting to sign that. Right. But yes.
Most of us would be thrilled with a 62% raise. So anyway, it appears y'all can calm down. You can leave some toilet paper for the rest of us. Ron Olson, blessedly, his campaign has come to an end, and so there you go. But it's been a lot that's happened in the real world. There was also an active night last night in sports. But before we get to that, Jeffrey, I was just thinking about, so we got a lot happening in Memphis in sports and otherwise. Like we got Mempho Music Fest is happening this weekend, right?
Indeed,
we got High Tone is celebrating its 25th anniversary. This weekend, you've got all sorts of there's the arts festival this weekend. Now there's starting to be Halloween-y type stuff, you know, everywhere. And then you have the Tigers have their blue and gray showcase tonight, and the Grizzlies have their Sunday open practice.
Seems fitting.
It's not called a Sunday open practice. I just splice those words together. It's really just their open practice that they're having.
Which happens to be on a Sunday.
Sunday. So a lot going on. A lot of chance to sort of participate in lots of things. But I ask you, Jeffrey, as we look ahead, and again, I'll talk about last night here in a moment, but as we look ahead to this weekend, what's the most interesting thing? In all the world of sports.
The most interesting thing. All right. So what?
I'll give you some. I mean, you got postseason baseball.
For sure.
Right.
But that also happens on a football weekend.
But so then let me offer you some football games. Okay.
All right.
Let me offer you some football games that might
Bills, Texans.
I think you could argue Bills, Texans, Stephon Diggs.
The 100%.
Stephon Diggs revenge game. Tim Graham, who writes for the about the Bills for the Athletic, mind you, I was sad to see because this quote was in the headline of the story, and sadly, it was from an unnamed player.
Anonymous or just unnamed?
It said a Bills player told me this offseason.
Okay,
so yeah, and what the quote was: he could suck the energy out of any room. A Bills player told me this offseason.
Yeah, that checks out.
That's right, don't you think?
100%.
But it won't surprise me at all if Diggs and the Texans win this. Of course, wouldn't ever surprise me because I always think the Bills are going to lose. But if they lose,
I think they're a 1-point favorite.
He's got 25 catches this year. Like he's not now, mind you, he's not putting up big yardage, but he's gotten some touchdowns. He's gotten some catches. What's interesting is he's got a 1-year deal, right?
Yep.
So they gave up a second round pick, among other things, and they got him on a 1-year deal. But which either assures his best behavior or assures that he's going to be bugging CJ Stroud for targets.
And we know which one I'm waiting on.
Now, mind you, he is not the best receiver on that team.
No, he's not. Nico Collins is.
Nico Collins is a stud. And Nico Collins is leading the team. Like he's been great. Like whatever Stephon Diggs is doing, it has not been at the expense of Nico Collins. It's not like he's continued to flourish. And but anyway, so that's one that would be that I could argue would be most interesting. There's other NFL games. Vikings Jets. How do you feel about that one? Ravens Bengals. How do you feel about that one?
So with Vikings Jets, it's like a reminder, everyone, we've got to set your fantasy lineup before you go to bed Saturday. It's the London game.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's the London game.
The London game. So we get 8:30 in the morning. I mean, to me, I think my other option would be in the NFL would be Baltimore-Cincinnati.
That's what I just Baltimore-Cincinnati.
I'm way more fascinated.
A lot of things figured out.
I mean, the Jets
at some point, Cincinnati has to start losing, has to start winning games.
For sure, if they're gonna get back into it. I mean, to me, the most interesting thing of the Jets and Vikings is Saleh versus Rodgers.
Yeah.
Yes. Are we going short snap count this week? What are we doing? Is everything on one?
Right. How about, I'll give you some others that are interesting. And this was yesterday when I was lamenting the college football schedule, and you said, no.
This is when
we're
going to
look
weeks.
Back at this one. And there's some tasty games. Like, I heard you talking about this yesterday. UCF, Florida.
Yes. True.
At the swamp. If UCF, now mind you, a little less interesting when you saw the dud that UCF put up last week against Colorado. But if you,
but does that also add to the intrigue?
Or does that
because then if you're Florida, you're like, that this UCF team lost team. A freaking Deion.
So if that UCF team can go into the swamp and beat Florida, is that finally the end?
I think there's a decent chance. I mean,
by the end of the weekend,
when we reconvene
on Monday, Billy Napier going to be gone?
As Cobb told me, he does have a shell. He has a shell. For those that don't know, he is basically. Like
he's pre-written.
He's pre-written the Billy Napier fired story.
So and so that could happen this weekend.
Absolutely.
There's some other. I mean, you got a rematch of the national championship game. Doesn't have as much intrigue.
We have a top 10 team on the road against an unranked team as an underdog. The defending national champion is an underdog against an unranked team.
That's amazing.
Yes.
So that's kind of interesting. The one ranked versus ranked is Missouri A&M, but honestly, the two that really intrigue me, I think Ole Miss.
I
might argue that Ole Miss South Carolina is the most interesting thing this weekend.
It's the most interesting to me because I do wonder if this is going to be viewed as a case study for portal teams. Ole Miss cashes in their chips; they go all in on this team, and if they lose on Saturday. You're now at this point where there's like theoretically, yes, like on paper, their season's not quote unquote over, but it is in reality.
No. What's interesting is so with Memphis football, we said that the Memphis's game against Navy and Ole Miss's game against Kentucky were very similar.
Yes.
Because they were the stumble that no one expected that raised this specter that the season that you'd been looking forward to forever was going down the crapper, as Ron Olson would say.
On a no wipe Wednesday,
Wednesday too. So you have that, but still, there are people in both camps, media members, optimistic fans, who after those losses to Navy and to Kentucky. Raise up and say, it's not over. One loss isn't enough. One loss isn't. It's, you know what it is? Jeffrey, and coaches can use this going forward. All our goals are still in front of us.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
It was not. So all our goals are still in front of us. You can, even in the wake of that loss to Navy, or even in the wake of that loss to Kentucky, you can say, you know what? Yeah, sure. It's just one loss, though. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. Now, the naysayers will say, yes, it's not just one loss.
Kentucky's not the toughest team on your schedule.
It may be an indication of what you are and that you're not so good. And so that now all of a sudden there's a need, and this applies to both Memphis and Ole Miss, there is a need to run the table going forward that there wasn't before. You have to run the table now. And there's a need to run the table, and there's now real much less evidence that you can run the table. So it's working against you on two fronts. But anyway, that's where we are with both programs. What strikes me is this game against South Carolina and Memphis' game next week against South Florida is sort of those are the games roughly equivalent type of opponent given where each program is right now. Those are the games that could just finally put a stake in your year. Like, your year is teetering, But that game for Ole Miss, this game for Ole Miss against a South Carolina team that may not be bad, and Memphis against South Florida next week, that's when you could just pronounce the patient dead.
Yes. 100%. Now, it's also entirely possible you can look good in those games.
Oh, yeah.
And then everyone knows,
like, game.
Okay, that
we had our stumble.
That happened. Like, it was a clunker, but
these
it's a new
games
world. You're going to have a clunker here and there.
Absolutely must-win games. And for both programs, when you come back for one thing, which is this is the year.
Yep.
This is the year we're going to make the playoff. We are. You got veteran quarterbacks. You're all that. And all of a sudden that goal is removed. I think it's less of a thing for Memphis because it's a less portal heavy, but still for Memphis, I think this applies as well. What happens once you can no longer say all of our goals are in front of us, what happens to that team? And what happens to the Ole Miss team? And what happens to Lane Kiffin?
Absolutely.
We talked about Florida. There's already rumors that Florida is interested in Lane Kiffin.
And it's a lot tougher to put the Heisman on those rumors when your season's kind of done. But like, if you're still in a playoff race.
Do you think Ole Miss falling apart would hurt his candidacy in Florida?
No. I think it would make it easier because there's not the, right. In the end, when Florida makes a change, they're going to want somebody as
soon.
And
if you're not in the playoff,
correct,
you can go.
I think it makes it easier.
So this is an absolutely, absolutely critical game for Ole Miss.
Oh, I mean, there are many out there saying line in the sand game.
Line in the sand game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll have your picks in the second hour. How do you evaluate this game?
More on that in a little bit.
Okay, more on that in a little bit. How about the Arkansas-Tennessee? While we're talking about interesting games coming forward, and I heard you talk about this, I don't believe this could be the end for Bobby Petrino.
For
Sam Pittman.
They have a bye week, I think that's the loss that would move it under. Like, in the end, they are waiting for him to, like, have the overall record sub 500 because that reduces his buyout in half. So I'm not certain that this would be that one, but there are rumblings that if this game were to go poorly because they have a bye week next week,
it would seem unfair. They've been plucky.
They've been plucky, but they've also lost games. Yeah. Right.
I think it's a really interesting week in sports. And then if you look at the Tigers and the Grizzlies, both, I mean, you're going to be able to, A, on Sunday, you're going to be able to walk into FedEx Forum and watch Ja Morant play basketball.
There you go.
Right? And what you're going to be able to watch at FedEx Forum, watch Ja Morant play basketball, watch Desmond Bane play basketball. It doesn't feel like you're going to watch Jaren Jackson Jr. play basketball.
Probably, yeah.
But you're going to be able to watch Zach Edey. You're going to be able to look up, see how tall that dude is. And so that's wonderful. And for the Tigers, you're going to start to get some sense, maybe, of who the hell they are. Do you have a good sense yet of who the hell they are?
Not even remotely. I do know this. When Munns tweeted out the measurables from yesterday's pro day,
yeah,
the thing that was striking to me is, like, you look at it and you're like, oh, they physically are going to look like Penny wants them to look. They're going to be much longer this year. And it appears that they're going to be more athletic. Now, granted, it's a pro day. These are, this is not competition. But I do think athletically they're going to be better than they've been.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting, by the way, the backups beat the starters.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, what was the story from the 92 Dream Team? The backups beat the starters.
Yeah, right. No. So the starting lineup yesterday.
All I'm hearing is just a team with great depth, Jeff.
Tyrese Hunter, PJ Haggerty, Colby Rogers, Dane Danger, and Nicholas Jordan. That's your starting lineup. Musa is anchoring the second unit,
yeah.
Jeffrey. Tyreek Smith, a big part of that as well. And so there you go. There's no question. It is interesting. They're going to be big. They're going to be long. They're going to be physical. And they're going to play. And they're going to guard. Right.
Yeah.
I do believe those things. Penny says he has learned to put out fires earlier. Let us hope that is true. It is definitely, though, this process of learning not just what they are, but who the hell they are, you know?
Yeah, I guess the other reason why I paid less attention to rotations and whatnot is because until I'm proven otherwise.
No, well, it's
going to be it's going to be revolving.
It'll be an ever changing. Yes. He did not say he's changed that. All right, getting to
didn't say who's tightening it up.
Getting to last night again. We got Jason Smith coming up next. Then Chris Harrington is straight up at 10 o'clock, and then Jeffrey will give you his picks in the second hour. Electrifying night last night.
Really good night of sports.
Really good night of sports with Pete Alonso. Could not be more dramatic. Facing Devin Williams, 2-on, 1-out, boom. And what I particularly liked was the beer and champagne moving from one clubhouse. That is so sad when the beer and the champagne moves from one clubhouse to the other.
I know that it's somewhat. Like
it's like the championship jerseys in it's like yeah, all the Bills shirts, it's the Bills, yeah, yeah. Bills Super champion, Bowl
yeah.
T-shirts
in Africa yeah
in Africa yeah
but also when they started the inning I think ESPN had the graphic up 93% chance of winning for the Brewers I mean isn't that why we watch sports
it couldn't be more dramatic I mean it just yeah it couldn't
and a
be.
Guy that
and a guy who may not be a Met next year
well not only that like a guy that people you know Mets fans and I think I'm not saying like they've been wrong to say it was like he cares more about the home run derby than he does right. like you know winning well that
run,
was a pretty
home
big
run
moment
came in handy home run came in handy for Mets fans and so you got the Mets Phillies as the playoffs postseason rolls on I think the wild card I think we can call it major success, yes?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Massive success, both for what it does in the regular season, but then the wild card itself.
To me, like, there is, for all that you can complain about baseball, playoff baseball, do-or-die baseball,
so
is unlike anything
else.
Because every single pitch.
And because of the waiting between the pitches.
100%.
Like, the same waiting, the same silences, the same... that make people feel like it is boring during the regular season.
It builds
make it
tension.
Just excruciating yes. during the postseason. So, and then as far as the wild card, I'm not a fan generally. It is funny because there's obviously NCAA basketball and all NFL games are one and done, right?
Yep.
But I do think 2 out of 3 works, or in the NBA where even in the wild card, you have the chance to lose one and then win another, right? Like I sort of like that in the interest of fairness. The one game wild cards in baseball seemed too abrupt, given the 162 game season
that it required
to get there.
You want it,
and also pitchers are such a big part of it that you want to at least you know one ace doesn't do it for you.
And especially like if a team had to throw somebody on Sunday and then you had to turn right around within 36 hours and have them throw again.
But they're talking about even like in the NHL, they're talking about having now maybe some sort of wild card, 2 or 2 out of 3, something like that. Anyway, it was certainly brilliant last night in baseball. And then I was sorry to see it. Baker Mayfield, I wasn't sorry to see it. Baker Mayfield, because I was explaining to Claire that I like equity, fairness, and I like everyone to get their share.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted the two teams to be 3-2, Tampa and Atlanta at the end of the night. And I'll say this, when the Atlanta kicker missed those two field goals in the first half,
yes.
missed one and then got a second crack at it and
correct.
Missed again.
And missed it again.
First of all, I felt bad for the little guy. I say little guy. He's been to the Pro Bowl. He's been to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, he's fine.
I looked it up. He has a $25 million contract.
I was going to say
he seems to be okay.
It is literally his job.
And then he hits the 52-yarder to send it into OT after a dramatic last drive, the spike with 1 second left.
Yeah, to me, like everyone can do the whole kick. The most impressive play was getting up and spiking it.
Absolutely. The spike with 1 second left was...
Because also the receiver ran after the catch.
Yes. Yeah, no, it was you're like... It was a night of really high drama on for TV last night, TV sports last night, and then Cousins with the touchdown pass, and the Falcons.
That was
win.
Just some. That was horrific
the
tackling.
Defense. It was horrific tackling. Cousins 42 of 58, 509 yards, 4 touchdowns. What and the pick that seemed to be a backbreaking pick when it happened, but turned out not to be.
Well, that was actually a bad football play. Not by Kirk Cousins, by Lavonte David. Knock it down. 18 yards. Because if you get the holding penalty, like that's the other thing. The Bucs would have just been better taking knees because they would have at least gotten to kick the field goal.
That is true.
Because the holding penalty is
right,
what decides the game.
And then the touchdown pass. Baker was efficient. Baker looked good, honestly. 19 to 24, 180 yards, 180 yards, three touchdowns, two of them to Mike Evans, including Mike Evans' 100th touchdown. Do you like Baker partly because he looks like you? It did occur to me as I was watching this last night. Maybe it's just the beard, but Baker looks like you.
No, I love Baker because he's an electric factory. Like everything, when Baker plays, you feel something. One way or the other. Maybe you hate him. Like maybe you can't stand him. You think he's like a cocky little prick, like, but you do feel something.
What did you come away thinking about those two teams?
It was so tough to tell because both teams were so banged up. Like the Bucks, like as bad as the tackling was like on that last play, I mean, what? They were playing, it felt like they were playing like third team DBs and whatnot. That just to me was like a classic NFC South game where you're like, okay, this is kind of fun.
It's the NFC South, yeah.
But I don't know if I believe it.
But what was fun was that we've been lamenting the scoring, lamenting the lack of offense,
sure.
Lamenting all of
no, that.
That
was a
and
fun
then you get all of a
game.
Sudden it's like a fun football game.
And there is something, you know, when we were making fun of the Vikings a couple of years ago where it was like they were 13-4, but like they were 8-1 in one score games. Last night was just a reminder. It's like, I think they just play a bunch of one score games because like that's Kirk Cousins football.
I can buy that.
You know what I mean?
We got Jason Smith coming up next, then Chris Harrington, then Jeffrey's Betts. Busy Friday. Before that, I will tell you, NFL Week 5 is here. You can win big over at FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. So if you're new, one little $5 bet, you got $200 in bonus bets that you can use to bet on whatever you like. Put together a same game parlay for this Sunday. Bills Texans, for that matter. I think Diggs is going to go over just because he's going to insist on it. So over anything, like over passing yards, over receptions, over whatever you do with your same game parlay, Bills Texans, Stephon Diggs over receptions. May not get a lot of yards, may or may not be touchdowns. They will have to target him because he will insist on it. So that's my pro tip. Anyway, bet five. Get $200 in bonus bets. Just go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to make every moment more this season. FanDuel is, of course, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Going to take a break. Back in a moment is Jeff Calkins Show on a Friday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jason Smith. Jason, John, every single day from 11 to 2. I'm an avid listener. Jason, you're headed to Chicago this weekend. Is that what I'm to understand?
Yes. Yeah, hopping on a plane tomorrow, and hopefully everything, you know, God willing, on Sunday noon, Chris, my son, and I will be in Soldier Field at noon playing the Carolina Andy Dalton. I'm still having to get adjusted to that. Uh-huh. And the Carolina Panthers. Now, this game was carefully selected, Jeff. You'll appreciate that. It was selected before the season. We said this looks like a winnable game because it is so important for me as a father who's hoping but not pushing his son in the Bears fandom, right? He's hoping his son could be a third-generation Bears fan like my father helped make me. This is a big day for us because you're 10 years old. This is kind of where I started,
sweet spot.
This is where I fell for it. And so key, and I told John, he probably heard us, so key was the Bears getting that win against the Rams, because I cannot tell you the difference for a 10-year-old between a 1-3 record and in a 2-2 record that's got a little bit of juice. Hey, you can sell them on 2-0 at home. You're going to see a win, kid, not a loss. Let's do it. So yeah, we're heading up tomorrow as the start of his fall break.
I think fandom is an interesting thing.
Very much so.
So why is your dad a Bears fan? And then do you remember when you became a Bears fan?
Dad's from South Side Chicago, so he's a Bears
natural
fan.
Comes by it, yeah, honestly.
And yeah, he made me a Bears fan around 9 years old, and it was easy because the Bears were a Super Bowl contending team that went on to snack up the Patriots and win easy.
Oh, it was so, those Bears. Remember, you got the Bears, I mean, the formative teams of your youth?
I mean, born in 76, and that Super Bowl was, what, 86? I think
the Super Bowl shuffle, that one?
Season, the 86 season. Yes, that's when I fell in love with them. And it was so easy, Jeff. You remember him well. Refrigerator Perry, he was such a, I mean, he was almost like a cartoon. Big fat guy running through the line for touchdowns. Mike Ditka, you know, the coach himself was a character. And there was a host of characters on that team, Jim McMahon all the way down. I mean, Jeffrey Wright knows that team well because he knows the history of the league so well. Jim McMahon, the Walter Payton.
Payton was still on that team, yeah.
And there's always, there's still a controversy to this day about Mike Ditka not getting Walter Payton in the end zone and that blowout Super Bowl victory over the Patriots. Walter had done so much to get the Bears to that point, so much that many on the team felt that Dick had got a little too kind of caught up in the ego and the fun of having fridged, busting the end zone. They had done that in that playoffs. And actually, it started with payback to the Niners, who had done it a year earlier and putting one of their big guys. And so it all started actually out of payback. But the point was, he was so caught up in the story that was fridge and that it was his decision to put him back there to become a success. He went, it happened in the Super Bowl, and instead of, getting Payton what was probably his best to do. It was the height of what should have been the height of Payton's career too, Walter Payton, who again had done so much to get us there. We basically ran the wheels off of him, Jeff, to get him there. And many a Bears fan and a few, I think, still on the team still soured a little bit. That blowout victory, the one thing he didn't get was a Walter Payton touchdown.
So let's see, it was Willie Gault and Dan Hampton and Steve
touchdowns.
McMichael,
yep,
and
two D's right there, two defensive.
Yeah, who else was
right
on
there?
That team? Jimbo Covert, was he the offensive lineman on that team?
Offensive lineman,
was
yeah.
The best offensive lineman on that team.
Thayer, yeah. I want to say Thayer, perhaps Thayer. I can't. All of the offensive linemen, don't come back to me as quickly as
that
the as that
like,
defensive line.
That team
The Identified Bears is still considered one of the best defenses, if not the best defense ever assembled. You had Buddy Ryan, another character, running the 4-6 defense.
Yeah.
And again, remember, he and Mike Ditka hated each other. And after that, you know, Buddy goes on and leaves to go coach the Eagles. And neither was ever the same. I don't, you know, the Bears let their pieces go. I think, Otis Wilson goes, I think, to Washington. It all starts to break up. McMahon is moved away, I think. And, man, they didn't keep it together. So, anyway, it was easy to fall in love. This is different. I got freaking Caleb Williams. They're not, it's all hope as opposed to you're right there and, you're going to win a Super Bowl when you're 9-10 years old. And so, but yes, having the Bears at 2-2 and there's, you're not sitting here at 1-3 or 0-4. Yeah, hopefully it's going to be fun. We got a nice day on Sunday and hopefully it'll be a nice little memory.
Those Bears, they were the football equivalent of Mike Tyson.
They would
punch you in the face. You couldn't believe it. How could you possibly deal with it? And then all of a sudden they were gone.
What was crazy too about that season is that loss was to the Miami Dolphins. The team that went undefeated in 72 and the franchise that never wants anyone else to do it again. And I think it was a Monday night game.
Yeah.
And one of Marino's passes got bad in the air, and it still came down to like Duper or Clayton, whichever one it was. The other one caught it, and they got all kinds of crazy stuff that night. And that was one of the other things about that season is that team was good enough to go undefeated that year. It was the Miami Dolphins, ironically, that knocked them off.
Would you trade Caleb Williams for Jaden Daniels right now?
Yes.
Oh no!
Because I fell in love last November.
And yeah, you were on the fence anyway, weren't you?
Saying this kid's gonna rise up. ESPN November, and I recall the date because we were pointing to ESPN had him as the sixth rated quarterback in last year's draft class. And I said he's gonna go up. Look at these numbers. He's putting up at LSU right now. This is before obviously he heats up, goes on to win the Heisman. But that was in November, and he rose like a comet. And became sort of that C.J. Stroud, that other guy. And frankly, Jeff, we were making the case, are the Bears, you've kind of talked yourself into Caleb Williams, but would you not be making them, would it be the right thing to do to trade down? Let one of these other teams come up and get Williams, and you take Jaden Daniels in the hall because he was that good last year. And so he's been so good in terms of, just doing the routine. That's what I still wonder about with Caleb is just are you going to understand that that's just as much a part, maybe if not more so, the routine, take what they give you as the big play. Some guys never get that. Hopefully Caleb will. Again, it's none of these guys are learning at the same curve. You also would say very easily just eyeball watching it. I think anybody that's watched both teams would say the same. What Washington is doing for Jaden Daniels in terms of developing him, calling stuff that's perfect for him and what the Bears are doing, the Bears who have a history of screwing this up, because your GM's never on the same page as your coach, who's always a lame duck and is never on the same page with the quarterback, like who had the history of screwing up. Washington's clearly doing a better job with Cliff Kingsbury, running that offense than what the Bears are doing with Shane Waldron and Caleb right now. So part of this, too, feels like it's on the organization, and that, I suppose, should not be a surprise because the Bears have been here before. We're watching Justin Fields, for the most part, be a winner in Pittsburgh.
Well, I hope it turns out. I hope the trip is everything you expect.
Thank you, brother.
It's a lot of fun. Honestly, like traveling with your kids is a blast. It's just, it's that time together. It's just a lot of fun. All right, onward we go. The Memphis Tigers had their pro day scrimmage yesterday and their blue and gray showcase tonight. From reports, how are you feeling about this team? They started in the pro day scrimmage, Tyrese Hunter, PJ Haggerty, Kobe Rogers, Nicholas Jourdain, and Dane Danger. We know that starting lineups are fluid under Penny Hardaway, but what do you make of this group?
Well, it's hard to tell. I mean, that's the thing, and we won't know. And I think we learned a whole nother lesson about not knowing, maybe even till well into the season, like last year. Again, you think one thing half through the conference season, halfway done with the season at 15-2, and then you find out something completely different because adversity struck, things have been taken away, Caleb Mills, you find out things about guys that perhaps you didn't know at the get-go, Javon Quinterly, so many things. You added a player, Naquan Tomlin, and so my point is that this latest lesson that Penny and we all learned is that whether it's the start preseason, or heck, halfway through the season. We're not going to know how this thing is going to go until, you know, probably until, what, halfway through the AAC season. Because last year I thought they clearly took the AAC too lightly. Penny had put, he had stressed too much how the non-conference was their season. They were masterful for the most part, 11-2, and they thought they were done. You know, we can add in the Caleb Mills injury, and it's certainly a part of it, but from the head coach on down, there was a sort of approach to things as, we've done the work, this will be easy. And it ended up at 11-7. And that obviously contributed to the debacle that was the meltdown in that season. And so we won't know until some adversity hits, until maybe a guy goes down. We won't know for sure. We can think we know. Hell, remember, I mean, John was leading us, and he was right to do so. We were clamoring for more respect. When
he
they
was
were
mocking
and
every top 25 writer
in the country. We were going after people because we said, Penny's about to do this. And that's and again, a credit to him, and you know, because we're doing so much right now saying what he's got to get fixed, a credit to him. He was so close. Like, if you look at the Kendrick Davis team, if you look at last year, 15-2, number, you know, top 10 in the country for the first time that late in the season since Cal, you gave people all the feelings. And here we are wondering if, and he's still the guy for the job. He was that close last year, but that's the nature of it right now. That's the nature of this sport. It's the nature of coaching this sport. You can be just, you know, you can be just as far away, just as quickly as you were close. I mean, again, I keep going back to what if that FAU, what if that game goes differently a couple of years ago and Memphis makes a Sweet 16? Well, then Penny's got some equity and there isn't nearly as much passion or urgency in my voice. But you don't have that. Unfortunately, you didn't kick the door in. And so it is a big year and we don't know a dang thing about this team and we probably won't know again, even through the conference season, through all those tests, we probably won't know until hopefully it's kicking the AAC's butt like we all think it should.
Well, it is interesting when you say that because it could very well turn out to be the flip side of last year. You know, you could
right,
go through,
right.
you could go could through the, too. You could struggle yeah. in non-conference. People could lose faith, whatever. And then obviously it is a watered down conference. You could come together, kick butt, whatever, roll through the conference tournament. It could literally be 180 from last year.
It could. And I think that's what you typically see, right, with college basketball teams. That's why last year was so right, so much of an outlier in terms of what you typically see. A team that's played that tough of teams doesn't break down the way this one did against teams that are weaker than what you played in conference. And so back to your point, we could very well see that. You struggle against the UConns, North Carolinas. If you see them in the Maui, you've got enough with the rest of it that 11-2? I mean, with this, I told Jeffrey yesterday, I take four losses out of this 13 non-conference games, and I'd be happy with it at 9-4. But perhaps it's more of what we're used to seeing, Jeff, where you do get hammered a little bit. You get strengthened up a little bit because of the tests that you've had. And, yes, then you go run through the AAC. Either way, you hope that that's not the case because, again, you're talking about putting yourself, I mean, as much as this program's always got its back in a corner or back against the wall, I mean, if you do that and you just absolutely bomb out in the non-conference, oh, man, I mean, you've got to win it. And that's the one thing, you know, that for the most part that these Tigers that struggle, this program struggled to do in the AAC other than the one conference tournament in 23. So you don't want yourself in that position, but could you see it? Yes, because the AAC is so dang weak. You don't have an FAU with Dusty May. You don't have a Kelvin Sampson. Those days are over. You need to go out here and run this thing, whether you've had a good non-conference or not.
I heard you all talking about the North Carolina, South Carolina doubleheader. That's October 15th. I have been urging people to, if they're so inclined, to support it, because there's an opportunity to do something. You know, back in the old days, people used to fill up the Liberty Bowl to try to bring the NFL. But, like, it's attendance not just to put money in. And here, the money all goes to St. Jude. But it is with the idea that you can actually create something for the community going forward on an ongoing basis. And ticket sales were fine, but not great. And I think ticket sales have to be great for this to get the momentum that it needs. So I don't know. I guess we're all hoping that it is a wild success. But I think work needs to be done.
No, I'm with you completely. We spent some time on our show yesterday. Felt like what we were doing was trying to sell the thing, and it felt uncomfortable because it felt like we shouldn't have to. Because to your point, first off, what it's childhood cancer, every dollar going toward that great enough cause, but also different from previous exhibition years where maybe we have been sort of programmed not to pay as much attention other than to see them because, what, this is typically for the good of a Lane College, right, where you had an Andre Turner or a Lemoyne, where the 25,000 or whatever it is now in 2023-22, obviously they're not doing it this year, right, that goes to their athletic department and helps them. This is an exhibition that can help Memphis, like you said, going forward. Jeff, maybe I'm crazy, but I can just envision, and you could hear the enthusiasm in St. Jude's, in Alsac's voice when they came on and talked about it, in terms of envisioning a tournament, an early season tournament with Memphis every year, where you've got the Arkansas's, and I realize perhaps they've this first year you couldn't get them, but you've got Arkansas or whatever brand, right, a national brand there is, who wouldn't want to be a part of something like that with St. Jude, especially with the experience itself. We've talked about it. And so to have that as now a regular season thing going forward, and you heard how much St. Jude has wanted to do this, basically a decade of hoping they could put something like this together, that, yeah, it felt like a no-brainer. Okay, let's not go out and embarrass ourselves by not being able to sell this thing and bring this thing, do something good. And in the process, the extra cherry on top is that it's going to benefit the program too, because you're going to get a regular season, early season tournament out of it, in which you'll probably attract some pretty good games. And so what's not to like? And, I don't know whether it's been ticket prices. I don't know, because I think those might be a little atypical. I don't know whether it's been just not enough sort of juice in terms of selling the thing, but no, it doesn't feel like, from the number we heard from Parse and everything else, and again, that was the number last week, but he said 4,000, doesn't feel like it's, like the urgency is there like it should be. And so we're with you, Jeff. I mean, we said it. It doesn't feel like we should be the ones having to tell people how big an opportunity this feels like it is for not just the city and St. Jude, obviously, but for the program going forward. And so, we're certainly going to do our part. My son and I are going to try to get down there, but I'm not going to just talk the talk and not walk it, especially when apparently they're struggling, or it's been underwhelming, at least right to this point.
Have a great trip, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. Yep. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks. Jeffrey, what is your Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels? What's your analysis?
Jaden Daniels has been handled much better. We can say what we want about Kingsbury falling up. Like, in terms of just being an offensive guy, he has put him in much better situations. And, I always just keep going back to this. I'm not saying, because I love Daniels too. Like, I remember when we were talking last year, it's like, I don't understand this idea that he wasn't at least going to be the second quarterback taken, because it made no sense to me. It's like, am I missing something? What am I not watching? I think you also have to give credit to the Commanders. Like, I think that offensive line's a little better than we thought they were. And I just don't know if it's a fair fight. And I always just come back to, like, at this point, we would have thought that Carson Wentz is a better quarterback than Jared Goff. We can always
right
jump the
cut. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, take a break. We got Chris Herndon coming up next. Jeff Calkins, Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier, and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.